The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International.
I didn't know what it meant to be a man. I didn't know how to shave. My mom didn't know what to teach me. And so the barber said, "Here, son, because the black people get bumps." He said, "No, take some of this magic. It smells like death. You wrap it up with water, you put it on your face, and it says, leave it on for about 5 minutes. I wanted a good shave, left it on for 20 minutes. It was magic shave, all right. My face disappeared."
Ron Archer shares the impact on his life growing up without a father. Next on Life Today.
So much for joining us. I'm Betty, and this is James.
Well, it is a joy to be with you, and we are thrilled to have Ron Archer back. He calls himself what was referred to as a trick baby. Mm-hmm. In other words, he was born the child of a woman who was being sold in prostitution, and suddenly finds herself pregnant. Those who were making money off this young girl, very young girl, tried to kill the baby. Beat her stomach, beat her womb, did everything they could. And it backfired. He said yesterday that this trick baby played a trick on the devil.
That's right.
And God had a purpose for him. And we want to talk about the horror and the damage of the tragedy of fatherlessness. I made a statement a few years ago concerning our nation. And I've said it to you on television. I've said it in New York City. I've said it in Washington, D.C. I've said it in virtually every place where my voice could be heard. And that is that fatherlessness has a cure that only one father can actually cure, and that is the perfect father.
Amen.
And I also said that if we who claim to know that perfect father, we who are in the family of God, in the church, we as believers born from above, born of the Spirit, supernaturally become the children of God. Jesus said He's the only way to the Father, and He indeed is. But He is an effective way to the Father. And when we receive Him and we know this Father, we then have a Father. And what I have said to leaders all of the nation, political leaders, business leaders, church leaders, if we, the children of the perfect Father, would behave like the family of the perfect Father, and love one another. I've commented many times that we would listen to our children playing together, maybe upstairs playing, maybe in another room playing, but when they were happy, we would smile. They're playing together. And one time I was listening, and I said, "Isn't it wonderful to hear our children playing so happily?" And it was like I heard Jesus say to His Father, "Don't we wish we could say that about our children? Look at them so happy together." Well, I believe if we, the children of the perfect Father, would behave like that, I think the fatherless would run to that Father. I believe that with all my heart.
Amen.
I think that's the key to the future of America and to so much of the suffering. Well, Ron Archer knows what I know, what it is to be an unwanted child.
Ooh.
The ones who didn't want him tried to abort him. My mother wanted me aborted because it was a forced relationship. She wasn't forced to give birth to me. When the doctor said no and pushed back, she prayed and God said, "Have the baby. I've got a purpose." Thank God she did. Thank God today we're doing a lot to save lives. Ron Archer, a trick baby. Would you welcome Ron Archer back to life?
Thank you, sir.
That is Ron.
Yes.
It's really an honor to be here.
Thank you, sir.
Have you here with us. Let's talk about fatherlessness.
This is the number one issue on my heart because I grew up without a father. I understand the pain, the abandonment, the sense of no identity. You know, I live in Africa. And in Africa, there was a reserve where all the male elephants, the bull elephants, were killed. And the juvenile elephants destroyed the environment. They were killing rhinos, killing people, defecating everywhere. They became a gang. And so they wanted to kill every young
elephant. To one man had an idea. He said, wait a minute, I think we can solve this. They went to another reserve and they got four bull elephants, big grown, and dropped them, tranquilized them. And when they woke up in that horrorville, they trumpeted loud and all those juveniles that were killing and marauding heard that sound, ran to the location, saw that daddy was home, grabbed tails and waited for instructions. No more killing. Wow. No more diseases, no more. And it just showed you the power of mentoring and fatherhood in the lives of the elephants. And that works in the animal kingdom.
Well, now listen, here's the deal. This is not a light story. I didn't know that.
Yes, sir.
And I'm amazed. And I love wildlife, and I love to see them really healthy and happy and so forth. Here's the deal. The thing about it is Jesus said that you consider the birds. Solomon said, consider the ant. Jesus said, look at all God created.
Yes.
And I reveal myself in it. You just told an animal story. Jesus, listen, if an ant could get attention and a bird,
hallelujah,
how big is the attention an elephant grabs? And here we are.
Yes,
sir. You said talking about the biggest problem.
It is.
Fatherlessness. It really is. And you just gave an illustration that illustrated what could happen. And I honestly believe that's exactly what can happen.
We focus on a lot of what I call symptoms. You know, we have abortion problems. Just listen to this number. Black women make up 7% of the U.S. population, and they have 40% of the abortions. 72% of black children are born out of wedlock in the U.S. and live in single-parent families. The number one issue for drug addiction, teenage pregnancy, incarceration, school dropout is not the color of one's skin, is the lack of a father in the home.
Wow.
80% of all the social ills in the inner city, in the Hispanic community, are caused by men who've learned to be breeders, but not fathers. All of the social vitriol that takes place. We tracked all the numbers and the statistics. When you don't have a father, you become like a blind man in a dark room chasing black cats that simply are not there. You become what you behold. Why the elephants stopped being a gang? Because they saw what they could become. They saw the grandeur, they saw the strength, they saw the dignity of a bull elephant and said, oh, that's what I am. But when you don't have that in your own community, then you become angry, vitriolic, lost, and all of these ills, the drug addiction, the prison problem, it's not white and black, it's daddy not being home. And I tell you right now, I'm 55 years old, sir, and for the rest of my life, I've dedicated myself to building an organization. It's called Places of Hope, and that my goal is to take a white church and a black church together, an Hispanic church, and adopt a school and provide mentors. You know, the Lion King movie is all about fatherlessness, right? You have the father, Mufasa, he dies, Simba gets lost, he becomes irrelevant, he becomes Hakuna Matata, no responsibility, and what happened? A mentor named Rafiki, which means friend in Swahili, finds him and says, you are not like your father, you know, and reminds him of who he is. And he goes back home, takes responsibility, and rebuilds the family and reclaims what was lost. That is what we're going to do. My dream and my goal for the rest of my life, thank you, Jesus, sir, is this. And you've inspired this in me. For every child that does not have a father in these United States, we're going to build an organization to make sure every child has a Rafiki, has a friend, has a mentor to help them understand what is man, that thou art mindful of him, and the Son of Man, that thou considerest him. Because everything God has ever done great, he's done through one man. We want to save the world from the flood, he called one man, Noah. We want to set the Hebrews free, he called one man, Moses. When he put Judah on the throne, he called one man, David. When he wanted to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, he called one man, Paul. When he wanted to save the world from sin, he called one man, Jesus the Christ, God wrapped up in flesh. And if God is going to change our nation and get us back into who we are as a people, he's going to call men. This man has inspired me to build a ministry that's going to make sure every guy that was like me. You know, when I was growing up, I didn't know what it meant to be a man. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to shave. My mom didn't know what to teach me, so we bought something called Magic Shave. It's magic, all right. And so the barber said, "Here, son, because the black people get bumps." He said, "No, take some of this magic. It smells like death. You wrap it up with water, you put it on your face, and it says, leave it on for about 5 minutes. If I wanted a good shave, left it on for 20 minutes. It was Magic Shave, all right. My face disappeared. When I began to wipe it off, skin was coming off, but my face had 3-degree burns, man. But these are the things, this one thing that I just wanted. One, I was a football player, and I saw the other kids, their dads putting them on their shoulders. I never experienced that.
Yeah.
I do it for my son, but I never experienced a dad to say, "Come to my game, good job, son, wonderful sermon, son," and I found myself longing for affirmation. All I can say, if we get away from this black-white thing, and you know what happened? How it even got worse was when Lyndon Johnson started the Great Society program.
Well, I was going to ask the question.
Yeah.
Does it seem to be worse in some communities?
It's worse.
And in the inner city and urban communities, so often you're going to see a race that appears there are no fathers there among the people.
None.
And you're saying you can trace some of this problem back to a point in history with maybe a leader?
Oh.
We in Texas do not necessarily think that Lyndon Johnson was the most honest, best. Many don't even know that he ever won an election, and he didn't get to be president because he won that election. But the point is
yes.
that we didn't really respect him a lot here.
Okay. Well, I can tell you what happened. They created a welfare system where a single mom, right, could get food stamps and ADC.
He called it the war on poverty.
Yeah. It was a war on black people. People don't know that. And so as long as the woman was single and she had 2 or 3 kids, Uncle Sam became her sugar daddy. If the father decided to return home, everything was cut off. So the woman thought,
So what was the government providing for her when she had a child out of wedlock?
You get food stamps, you get medical care, you get ADC, all this stuff. And to create a permanent victimization, to say, if I ever dream of anything great, I'll lose all my stuff. So I'm not going to venture out. I'm not going to be an entrepreneur. I'm not going to go back to school.
And if you had another baby, did it increase?
You got more money. So it created a factory for having single-parent moms with 5 and 6 kids. We just talked about what? That is the number one issue for abortion, for dropping out of school, for prison. So the whole system was set up to keep a people in bondage. And you know what? I grew up in that era. I remember going to store with food stamps. It's the most humiliating thing on the earth. When you go to a store and you want to pay for the food, and they go, "Food stamps, aisle 3, and you got to show, you're like, "Oh, you want to sneak out the store?" And bring you all this cheese, they give you so much cheese. I felt like a rat. Yeah, I eat so much cheese. That's what they give you.
Yeah.
And it beat out of you any sense of dreaming. I don't want to lose my benefits. I don't want to lose my cheese. I don't want to lose Uncle Sam loving me.
But don't you see a system today, it looks like, that a lot of the leaders in some of these communities are actually teaching the people that they should be dependent upon some source other than God, or trying to have family and assume that responsibility? Don't you think that we're just feeding the problem, and even some people who are speaking to these are actually telling them to depend upon a source that keeps this cycle of dependence? And what I see it is absolute bondage.
It's
actually another form of servitude, slavery.
It is.
Where you're totally
truly
dependent and you don't have the freedom to be the great people that you could be.
Yes.
And by the way,
yes,
the fatherless can meet the ultimate father.
Amen.
And those of us who know the ultimate father,
yes,
can do exactly what you're talking about. Go into the community. We've got Rich Wilkerson on, who is a man who has reached into all these urban communities and inner cities and areas, and he has seen miracle after miracle. David Wilkerson impacted New York City with love in a marvelous way.
Amazing.
But that needs to be multiplied to where every Christian, every church, every person is seeking to be supportive of it. And even our national leaders, even in the political arena, we could set up systems where we could actually actually give help with a mentor. But the way our government plans things now and controls things with this anti-God mentality is the people that cannot do anything in a community where any government assistance, the people's money, God's money, that the people pay in taxes, if it's going in to help those people, that person working in there can't talk about God, can't talk about Jesus, can't be a real strong Christian. You have to leave that out or the government's going to step back out. Isn't that absolute nonsense? Isn't
yes.
that everything that flies in the face of the perfect Father's will
Absolutely.
And the perfect Father's love and everything that you're talking about? So if you launch all of this, the government would say to you, well, if you're going to be in there talking about God and showing people this kind of Father, you certainly could never get any government assistance. And
right.
if you ever do, you've got to shut up and be silent. Why don't we tell the government to shut up, to back off, and stop being a burden on the people and keeping them in bondage? Why don't we stop it?
Because people in certain places of power want constant victims. And because those victims are dependent like drugs on the welfare system and they're guaranteed voters to keep that poison going into the system. Let me just give you some numbers. 80% of the social ills have been caused by this system. And yet people want to keep voting for the system that keeps them oppressed. That makes no sense.
It doesn't.
You know, and we need to understand there is something about being an entrepreneur, a visionary. Mm-hmm. Oh, the self-esteem, the self-worth, the creativity that's in you. You don't need the government handout when you can learn that you have within you the ability to do everything God has given you, the talent to think, heads, hearts, hands, habits, to dream and build and become a part of this great American society where there are no limits. There are. Where if you dream it and put the work into it, people will help you and you will get there. It just frees you from the bondage of a slave mentality.
Are you finding this message received when you take that message to the people?
When I preach it, yeah, brother. Oh, you better believe it.
What you're talking about
yes,
is
sir.
Taking transforming truth into the communities where
yes.
people have been literally neglected.
Yes.
You're going to try to wake up our nation
yes,
to
yes.
provide good services, but don't cut God the Father
no.
off when He's the one that can raise up the fathers,
yes.
can change people like He changed your heart
oh,
and my
yes.
heart as
Absolutely.
Two fatherless people.
Yes.
But we still need to be encouraged. My viewers and the supporters of what we do encourage us.
Amen.
You're going to need to find people. I've encouraged you, but you're going to need to find people encourage you in what you're doing and help you do it.
I got some good folks in Middlesbrough, Ohio.
Pray for Ron. Would you pray? I want to say a prayer right now for Ron Archer. God, I want you to multiply Ron Archer hundreds, thousands of times with men that will stand up, young men now, who will be men who will have the heart of the Father, who
yes.
will become fathers, who will love their wives, love their children, set an example like we've heard about. And God, I want you to heal the urban community, the inner
yes,
city.
Jesus,
multiply
have mercy.
The effect of men
have
like
mercy.
Dr. Tony Evans, like
yes.
Dr. Ben Carson.
Yes, Lord.
So many others that love
Help
you
them,
so much.
Yes.
I pray you multiply beyond anything we've ever imagined, beyond the sands of the sea, Lord. Like you said, you wanted a people like that. You wanted a nation, a people, a family through which you could bless all the nations, all the families of the world. And that is your family, the church. Help us, dear God, as your family, to support what you put on Ron's heart. Help us to see this fatherlessness
yes.
dealt with in a supernatural way in Jesus' name. Join Betty and me in saying thank God and thank you, Ron Archer.
Thank you, sir.
God bless you.
Yes, sir.
I pray every vision God plants in your heart will come to pass. And you pray for him. You have a website where people can follow what
yeah,
you're doing
real
and
simple.
See where you're going to speak?
RonArcher.org.
That's pretty simple.
Yeah, pretty
RonArcher.org.
Simple.
That's
yes, sir.
Even easy to spell and you can find it. Now, let me tell you what we're doing. We're doing what a father does. Right now, we are giving gifts for Christmas, and we have to start way ahead to raise the support. We are giving shoes and smiles for Christmas. And Betty, it's exciting to watch these little children, for many of them, get their first pair of shoes. And we've watched many fighting diseases because of the bacteria that got into their bodies through the little cuts on their feet.
Mm.
I want you to watch this. Listen to the heart of the Father. Listen to God's heart through our missionary overseer. Listen to Ralph as he shares the Father's heart for these precious little ones. Watch closely.
What if you could put a smile on a child's face by giving them something they have never had? What if, with that gift, you could save a child from getting parasites? And what if you could actually save the life of a child with that gift? You can do all these things by simply giving a pair of shoes to children around the world.
Today has been one of those special days because so many kids in this environment, they don't have any shoes. Haven't had. Many of them have never owned a pair of shoes. And the terrain they have to walk through and work in, it just tears up their little feet. It doesn't only make them sore, but they get diseases in their feet, climbs through their system in their bodies, and even brings death. But today's been a good day. We're able to bring shoes to their lives, these life shoes that are provided by so many of our generous donors. And today, little Tuan here, he's gonna get a pair of shoes, and now he'll never have to go barefooted again. He can always run. See, he loves this stuff. He can run through the woods, wherever he goes now, with a good pair of shoes and not have to worry about infection. So I want to say thank you again to all of our partners for giving so generously. But this Christmas season, please, just want to ask you to give again so that you can bring change to little children's lives like Tuan. God bless you, and may you have a Merry Christmas.
And Ralph, I just want to say I love you. I know you just had to fly to Houston to get another visa to go back to Angola. And Ralph is spending Christmas without his sweetheart, his wife. He lost his wife. And it's a tough deal for Dad. And yet there he is, right back with a broken heart, but a love of God for these precious children. This is the kind of people you support. You support Ralph. You support missionaries like that. And Ralph is our overseer for life all over the world. What a wonderful expression of God's love. Betty, don't you want to see all these little children have the biggest surprise for Christmas? And we're asking God to give us 150,000 pairs of shoes for children. Isn't it fun to do this?
I love this special thing that we do at Christmas time. How precious are the precious feet of these children. And we've been there. We've been able to see the excitement in their little faces and in their hearts. They just dance up and down. First time they've had something to put on their feet to not only be comfortable with, but to be safe with, to protect their little feet from the disease that can come from all the cuts and scrapes and the diseases that get into their little bodies. I hope you'll join with us, and let's put smiles on their faces because they've got shoes on their feet, but also let's put smiles on the faces of those little ones that hadn't been able to smile because of a disfiguration, James, and that blesses me too.
Please
join with us and help us.
Well, you know, when you see children smiling and then you see some that don't, I never will forget one little child. A lot of the children we saw in Africa had never seen themselves in a clear picture, like a reflection. And we saw children running up to see their image in a camera monitor. And as the camera pointed at him, and this little boy came up and he saw himself. And he had a horrible cleft palate and he screamed and threw his hands over his face and turned and ran away. And it so touched my heart, I immediately looked at the viewers who saw that. And I said, why don't we give that little child a miracle? And did you know you gave the resources to take that little child from Angola all the way to Johannesburg and do the surgery and send him back home with a smile? Our missionaries were blown away. They said there were no surgeons there that could do this. We had to take him from all the way from Angola to Johannesburg, South Africa, to get the surgeons, and love did it. Betty, our viewers love to help.
Yes,
you're going to love giving these shoes. Now think about this. $36 will give 10 children a pair of shoes, 10 pairs. And for 180, and oh, how I wish many would do this, we can give 50 children a pair of shoes. Would you do that? Would you right now go and get your bank card, go online or dial that number and say, here's the gift God's put on my heart. And then remember, like Betty said, we can give those smiles, that cleft palate surgery, where there's a deformity in their face, we can correct that. The average cost is $500, $1,000, two surgeries. Would you provide that? Father, I pray everyone who can help will right now. You know, I believe it's way early for Christmas, of course. You say, why are you doing it now? It's a long way. Hey, because we have to raise the money, get the shoes, get them ready to ship, and get them into all the different locations in third world countries primarily. and be the miracle gift for Christmas. So please, get your bike card or write a check, make it to Life, dial the number, or go online and make the gift. We have some gifts to send you that are going to put a smile on your face to say thank you. Thanks for what you're doing. Thanks for your gift.
Poverty is a killer, and because of it, children needlessly suffer, not only from a lack of food and clean water, but also from a lack of things we often take for granted, like a simple pair of shoes. Far too many children living in extreme poverty have never owned a new pair of shoes. And while that may seem minor in light of all their needs, walking with bare feet puts them at risk of life-threatening infections and disease that could lead to crippling consequences and even death. By responding today, you can help immediately secure and begin shipping Christmas shoes to 150,000 children around the world, just in time for the holidays. Your gift of $36 will help provide 10 pairs of shoes, a gift of $72 will provide 20 pair, and a gift of $180 will help provide 50 pairs of Christmas shoes for children in need. As a thank you for your gift of support, be sure to request this beautifully crafted green crystal shoe ornament, a treasure to display at each Christmas. With your gift of $100 or more, you may also request this keepsake boxed set of Life's Christmas shoe ornaments. Finally, please consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help provide over 275 pairs of shoes or two children with corrective cleft palate surgeries, and you may request the beautiful Safe in the Shepherd's Arms bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
Well, you're going to put smiles on children's faces by putting shoes on their feet. Thank you for those who helped the surgeries. And you know, I believe if we pray, God's going to heal our land in the very areas that Ron Archer was talking about, fatherlessness. Yes, we need mentors, but we also need men to assume the responsibility of a covenant relationship and a commitment and quit using women. And women, you quit allowing them to use you. Amen. And then looking for an abortion as some kind of a safeguard for pregnancy. That's a precious little life. And let's see fathers raised up. Ron Amen. Archer wants that. You're going to pray for him. As we thank Ron, would you applaud to say thanks to him and to God? And we're going to support you, Ron. I believe God's going to raise up all the support you need to help inspire fathers and touch his community. Thank you so much for watching. There's Ron Archer's website if you want to go and see where he's going to be. Perhaps you want to step up and help him or get involved with him. That'd be great. God bless you.
Tell God the truth when life is overwhelming.
Pretending is not authentic faith. God invites transparency.
Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.